Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Conversation. This week on the Conversation, tornado sirens going off last week, and a couple of us that do radio things had to cancel at the last minute during the show live. Also, is someone scheduled to possibly replace Hillary in place? She can't make it because she's got health issues. Well, the lamestream media is talking about it, so it has to be true. And is there a divide between them? Is there a Hillary camp and the DNC? Also, you know, freedom. If they want to take your guns and want to take your freedom, and they're scared by people that want their freedom back, that speaks volumes. Two companies out east, one big one, closing. And there's like 3,000 jobs being lost because of it. And I'll explain. And much, much more with racing in Richmond and the Derby and the Premier League. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of. Isaiah 12, 2. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has given me victory. Think about that as you're going through your evening and your day, tomorrow and stuff. And welcome to the conversation. I never said the conversation was going to be boring. And it was not, because one of my, a friend of mine, Randy, he was doing a football commentary and they actually had to abort because of tornado sirens. That's what happened last week. We were like probably about 20 minutes left into the program or 24 minutes left and tornado sirens are going off left and right. And if you don't know where we live in Tornado Alley. And when those sirens go off, you usually get like alerts on your phone now or on TV saying, go to your safe space. And that's what me and my wife basically did. So that's why the abrupt end to the conversation last Friday, because of, you know, tornadoes. And we take them very seriously because I've actually been in a house that didn't exist the next morning. We actually got out before, but it's crazy, you know. And around here, about 45 minutes away in Kokomo, there was a tornado that hit, so we don't take them lightly. When sirens are going off, one's been spotted, and you take cover. And that's what we do, you know. We went to our safe space, and I don't mean I was offended, so I got to go to my little thing, because someone might say Native American or Indian or something. Like, I mean, who knows what else they're going to try to say is offensive. I mean, pretty soon they're just going to, like, Here's the Webster's Dictionary. Every word's offensive. You can't speak anymore. Oh, Lord, I tell you. It's crazy. But when you have an organization that has no problem backing Colin Kaepernick or okaying people on their knees for the national anthem, but they're going to fine someone for wearing shoes for 9/11. I guess they're going to give the NFL players, is going to give players like a week where they can wear something to support a charity or something. So if you support 9/11, you can wear shoes that week. And I think they give every player like 1 week where they can do it because people were outraged. So it's one of those things that, but still, I mean, if you wouldn't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance or the National Anthem or anything and you were on that field, you wouldn't be playing on my team. Well, you have the right to not stand up for the National Anthem, and I have the right not to have you on my team. Fair is fair, you know. You don't want to respect our country's National Anthem and the people that die to protect it? Why are you here? explain that one to me. You know, I lost someone on 9/11. It's not a joke to us. You know, that national anthem is not a joke. You know, if you can say, well, you know, me being on one knee with my hand on my heart, this is how I respect and this is what I do and this is, you know, and you can say, yes, I 100% respect my country. I've got American flags. That's just how I, that's how I do the Pledge of Allegiance or the national anthem or whatever, you know, God bless America. That's, I'll always do that because whatever, and you can justify it. Then I can say, okay, maybe, you know, he's being legit. He's justifying, you know, but, you know, to me, it's like, I don't even know what's going on in football. I know about two things. Uproars about how people are disrespecting during the national anthem and some drunk guy that they commentated about. But they didn't have the cameras follow the guy. I wonder, you know, I don't know. It's getting to the point where I'm like not even interested in the NFL anymore. It's like, I don't know. To me, that's why I like the Premier League a lot, because those people are, they're considered respect. I mean, you lay a hand on a ref, it's a red card, because they're in a position of authority, and you're looked up to by kids, and if you know they don't want to, it's just a thing of respect, and they take that, you know, respect very seriously. You know, a lot of European players don't take that English Premier League lightly. You know, they're grateful when they go for it full bore and take it full bore. But moving on, folks, what would happen if Hillary Clinton, or for Donald Trump in that matter, would drop out of the race? Mainly Hillary, because there is talk that with her health and all this stuff going on, remember at 9/11, she fainted and had seizures. I've had that documented, that there are people who've seen that are medically inclined to say yes. Yeah, she is having begins with a P, like a perimal seizure, I think. But I'm not the medical person. And they said, yeah, she's having a seizure. They're trying to hide that. You know? And I'm like, wow. Scary. And they didn't, they cut protocol. They didn't go to the ER. They went to Chelsea's apartment. Now, from what I'm understanding, Hillary was out of it from the video. She wouldn't have had the ability to say yes or no. It was her team that said, take her to Chelsea's place now. Because I guess if she went to the ER, stuff would happen. You know, people could find out that it's not just fainting. It's not just pneumonia. You know, she could have pneumonia. We're not saying that, but I think it goes way beyond pneumonia. And I truly believe that. And me as a voter has a right to know, could she handle the office of the White House? Look at how Bill Clinton looked when he came in and how he looked when he left. Look at how much George Bush aged. Look at Barack Obama, how much he aged from being in the White House. I have a caller. Let me go see if I can get him on the air just a second. Hello, are you there? Hello? Someone tried to call in, but I guess the call was dropped, so we'll see if he can get back in with us. But, you know, when you look at it, there is actually protocol for people. Like if Trump was to go out of the nomination or out of the running, you would have the like top three DNC or RNC officials, depending on what party it is, and those three people would help decide who would run. And I can guarantee you right now, if Hillary Clinton could not continue, they better take Bernie Sanders, or else people would know something's up. He, in my opinion, should have had the Democratic nomination in the first place. And if he didn't get the nomination, you know, then wait a minute here. He should have, he was next in line, if anybody. But then you can sit there and, you know, I've heard them consider that they might look into taking Biden. But Biden, I don't know if he ever really showed any real interest. But it's one of those things that when you look at it from a standpoint of, I think something's majorly wrong. And they, you know, and I don't, and I've heard, my belief is I think there is a divide between the, I think the Hillary camp is trying to keep stuff in the DNC. Because I think the DNC is truly looking into a possible another candidate. But they've come out and said that, no, we don't, we have not talked about it. We have no plans in place. You know, we would just go by the standard plan that if Hillary Clinton was to drop out, that we would have these candidates. You know, we would take and we would decide, the top three would decide who would be the next candidate. And I guess they would move the election back some just to give, because, okay, let's say it's someone that's not Biden or Sanders. I would want to know about them. People would want to know about them. So, you know, but it's one of those things that's never really happened. But she's having too many issues to ignore, in my opinion. Way too many issues. And when she came out and greeted that little girl and all that, that was not her. That was a stunt double. I'm sorry. I've looked at the photos. There ain't nothing you're going to tell me to make me believe that was Hillary. Excuse me. But I'm sorry, but I don't. That was not Hillary. I'm sorry. It's just one of those things that when you look at it, just way out of place. Okay, she looks similar, but not, but too dissimilar to where I can say, wait a minute, it's not, you know. I mean, like I've talked about before, there's photos of Osama bin Laden that if you put a beard on Obama and you put like a turban on him, they look like identical twins. It's scary. When you look at that photo of that chick that came out that greeted the girl, it kind of looked like Hillary, but it was enough different to where you could say, wait a minute here. That's not Hillary. It looks like her. At first glance, you might say, hey, it's Hillary, but no, it's not. I'm sorry. It's not Hillary. But, you know, I think she seriously needs help. She needs to have a time where she sits down and gets some actual medical treatment. I don't think she's getting near the treatment she needs because she's trying to cover up all this stuff. She should have went to the ER. But that's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen. The lamestream media is just going to keep, oh, it's pneumonia, she's just coughing, it's just this, it's just that. Well, we need to know. Because if she becomes president, I mean, if she becomes president, we have to know this stuff. Can she run the country in a year? Is she going to be so? I guess a lot of people believe that if she gets in, Bill Clinton's basically going to be president again. He's going to run the country again. And that's one of those things that, you know, a lot of people look at, well, oh, so what if he had 200 girlfriends that he screwed around on? I thought the country was great when he was president. Not me, but a lot of people believe this country was great when he was president. And him being president would be a good thing. Which I don't see how his... I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. I mean, there's a post that was put up where it has Richard Nixon that goes, I want you to dig me out of the ground and I want you to apologize. I deleted 30 seconds of tape and I was impeached and taken out of office. Hillary Clinton's running for president. And guess what? Four servers, 30,000 plus emails. Well, I didn't know what the classified was. Well, you're like Eric Holter. You can't know what it is. You can't know what anything means because you're going to be in trouble. I mean, they brought in all these people. They subpoenaed all these people to testify about this stuff with the servers and emails and all this stuff. And they all pleaded the fifth. well, under my counsel, I plead the fifth under my constitutional rights. So you can't even tell me if you were interviewed by the FBI under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. I plead the fifth. Under the counsel's advisement. And one guy didn't even show up. It's ridiculous. I'd be in prison if I'd done half the stuff she'd done. I'd be in prison. It's ridiculous if you watch that. I mean, at least they could lie. You know, make something up. Nope, I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. Everyone that was in on it, I plead the fifth. Yep, I'm not testifying. My counsel told me not to. You and James Cooper, I think was his name. He's like, yeah, I had access to her server. I had no security clearance, nothing. This is classified documents, yada, yada, yada. It's just crazy. Justin Cooper. He had access to these servers, had access to all these emails with classified information on them, but no one cares. Like I said a couple weeks ago, who cares who hacked the emails? The emails prove that the DNC was helping Hillary Clinton get the nomination. These emails, it's proof. She had confidential emails. She had national security stuff on there. And any willy-nilly without clearance could have seen it. It's sad that we have to use WikiLeaks to get the information. Because the lamestream media ain't doing their job. I mean, that's why you got to go to sources like me or The Blaze or InfoWars or The Young Turks. Because you get stuff that you don't hear about. There should always be a plan in place. You should always say, okay, well, who would be the DNC and the RNC should always say, okay, this is who we're going to have in case, let's say, John McCain was to get hurt. They should have had a plan in place. This is who we, if everything goes well, we're going to have this guy as the backup for the president. Done. What's amazing is they've done this several times, and this is what scares me, because everyone asks me, so what do we do? How do we move forward? There used to be a Carlton Sheets, like, no money down system, and one of the things on the system was, this newest DVD is, how do I get started? What do I do on day one? Everyone asks me, a lot of people ask me, so what do we do? Where do we go? How do we move forward? Because you have these people that they'll read all these things that Donald Trump said, and they go to Hillary Clinton supporters. And what do you think about Hillary Clinton saying this or that? And they agree with all this stuff that Trump said. Not Hillary. Hillary's the exact opposite. She wants Common Core. She wants higher taxes. And they agree with them. They don't even have a clue, and they're at the rally supporting someone that they don't even know what they stand for. Pretty soon we're going to be like the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, North Korea. That's what the North Koreans call it, where they believe that Kim Il Sung created the hamburger. We're going to have kids that are going to think that, oh, we have medical insurance thanks to Obama. Obama created health insurance. They're going to believe it because these people are getting so dumbed down. And it's sad. It's scary. When you interview kids, and the whole point is not their point wasn't to find this. Their point was to hopefully get people that, oh, yeah, we won the Revolutionary War. We wanted to gain our independence from Great Britain. You know, basic history things that they asked that they couldn't even tell. Well, who fought in the Civil War? It's the North versus the South, and the North won. Now, there is some debate that there's some groups that back in the Civil War era period, they actually were it was a group that became Republicans that they claim were the ones that were supporting slavery, and the true Democrats were against it and all this, which there is some of that, but I don't believe a lot of that. I mean, it's always a double, everything's a quadruple standard, as I call it, because if you go back it goes back and forth. Whatever I see, and some Republicans don't really do this as much, but Democrats seem to change their view to fit whatever agenda they have at the moment. If keeping that Confederate flag up is the thing that they need to do, they'll be behind it. If it's offensive and people want to take it down, they're 110% for taking it down, even though a year ago they were for keeping it up. I mean, I may just be retarded or whatever, but I haven't changed my viewpoint. What I stand for pretty much now has been a standard. I got a beautiful wife and I'm married, but let's hypothetically say I was gay. I wouldn't want you to call, if I go down to the courthouse and me sign the piece of paper, like the marriage license that a husband and wife like me and wife have, I would want it different. I wouldn't want it to be called marriage because I'm hooking up with a man. I would want it to have a different term. And I wouldn't want it to be called the same thing as these two chicks are. I'd want it a different term so that they have a term. So that when you say what the three terms, one means two guys, one means two women, and one means two a man and a woman. That's never really changed. You know, marriage is a term that means man and woman. I'm not against gays having the same rights as married couples. I just think they should call it differently for men as they do for women, just like you don't call two men lesbians. My view really has never changed on that. A lot of my views, whether it's religious or political, have not changed. But you look at some of these politicians, every time they want to vote, they'll change their stance. Instead of having a backbone and saying, hey, that Confederate flag is history. We need to keep it up. No, they don't have a backbone. Look into that Reimagining America website, where what would happen if we reimagined America and changed how it was? They want to reimagine America. Like, what if we could reimagine the way it was founded? Reimagine our history and everything about America. It's scary. I honestly believe give it about 20 years and we'll have a Kim Jong-un type North Korea where these kids are not going to know their history. And they're going to be sitting there while Obama created healthcare. He created Obamacare. No, healthcare has been around a lot longer than Obama. There's a video you should look up on YouTube, and it's like the top 10 things that North Koreans believe. Because they've been brainwashed. And that's how these kids are today. They don't know their history. Because they don't teach it. A black man gave false information to the British to help us win the Revolutionary War. If our history books were correct, the first slave owners were blacks. And it was blacks that gave up Africans to the whites to bring them over here. But it's scary when you have people that want to take away your guns and you are I'm a law-abiding citizen. Okay, my gun again didn't kill anybody. But you're going to support a government that wants to take my right to carry a gun. Well, are they going to take away the guns of the 30 people that are protecting that congressman or senator? I don't think so. I said this one time on the program. I said, what we need to do is, okay, let's ban guns altogether. We'll take them from the military. We'll take them from the police. We'll take them from everyone. There will not be a gun in this country. No one will be able to have a gun. Nobody. No politician. Nobody. No policeman, no military, no nothing. and we'll buy a bunch of we'll pay for a bunch of clowns, and they can make like laser blazers out of twisty balloons, and there you go, and you can make the sound with your mouth. Bing, 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 bing. There you go. Problem solved. Even the most strictest gun control countries still have issues with guns. But I'm going to, you know, see, I studied history. I passed history because history taught me one thing, not to trust the government. I don't trust any politician. That's why I support Trump some, because he's at least not a politician. I don't agree with 100%. I don't agree with 100% of anything anybody said. But I agree with him more than anyone else. You know? Do your homework. Don't just rely on one source. Look at like four different news sources. Watch the BBC. See what they say about stuff. Go to the French 24. There's a French 24 app. And do the American version. And you can see a lot of European stories. You can see their take on our stuff. And I really believe. Don't just take it from one source. Look at a bunch of things and see what's going on. This is a kind of new developing story, but John Kerry's State Department has funneled millions of dollars into his daughter's not-for-profit. I want to see my wife do that and get away with it. Never trust a charity associated with a Democratic politician. That's right. According to an executive report from the Daily Caller, $9 million of the Department of State's money, the Department of State, State Department money, has been funneled into the Peace Corps, and through that, it was directed by Senator John Kerry to his daughter's not-for-profit organization. Isn't that just, you know, that's just dandy. Well, like those trillions of dollars in stimuluses where half of the money, who knows where it went. Okay, there was like $30 million to put windows in an abandoned building that's not being used, and the windows are brand new in there. So where'd the money go? That's why I love it. All these politicians, they pass these bills with money in them and stuff, and they're basically like a UFO. As long as they give some sort of explanation, they're done. I got a caller online. Let's see if I can get him in here. Just a second. Hello, you there? Hello? Can you hear me? I got someone trying to call in and I can't hear him, so. You there? You there? Got a drop call. So if you can try to call back in, feel free. But as you move forward with this, you know, it's like I said, it's like the UFOs. Who cares? As long as they can make an explanation that it's a meteor or this or that, that's the explanation they give. Well, we gave $30 million to put windows in this building. Okay, $30 million, that's fine. The windows are brand new. There's nothing wrong with them. Everything's peachy. You know, and I guarantee you that money is going to pay off somebody. And that's, you know, because if you raise $100 million for your campaign, you owe somebody somewhere. And that's what's going on. That's what's going on. $9 million of our money is going to his daughter's not-for-profit. That's nuts. That's nuts. It's just crazy. You know, when you have some black pastors that are saying we are more divided now than before the civil rights, that's saying something. That's not me. That's coming from the horse's mouth. And we are a very divided nation. This is something that I want to talk about, that I've talked about before, but something that Greta Van Susteren, who just left Fox, said some of this, and I'm going to paraphrase what she said and go and talk about it a lot. 15 years ago, since 9/11, what has happened? I know politics is a knockout, drag-out sport. A robust debate is great for a democracy. We need a robust debate. But we're destroying each other. Whatever happened to the friendship? Whatever happened to the videos of helping Muslims and Muslims helping Jews and Christians and everyone came together as a nation? There was no, you couldn't find an American flag anywhere. There was no safe space. There was no politically correct words. There was no hate. There was nothing. It was one nation coming together. Now, political debates are great. It is kind of hard, though, when I have friends that they support, they're a Democrat, and they're never going to change. You can never convince them. Hillary Clinton is Jesus Christ. No, she's the Virgin Mary. Obama's Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, they're hardcore Democrats, and they're never going to change. And we just agree to disagree. And I know it's, but it's good to have debates. But when, you know, I don't ever remember people trying to take a Bill Clinton sign and take it out of their yard. I may laugh at someone with the Hillary Clinton sign, but oh well, I'm not going to take it out. They have the right. Someone has the right to be on this program and say, "Hey, I'm a liberal, and this is why I support this way." You have the right to have NBC on the air and ABC. We're in a free country where we have the right to speak our mind. You know, that's why I do what I do. I speak my mind while I still have the freedom. But what happened? It's been 15 years. Everyone knows where they were. I can tell you exactly where I was. Lying in bed, and I went to turn on the TV to see what the weather was going to be and stuff. And I'm like, this is great. Die Hard 4. Because part 2 had the airport. Part 1 had the tall building. And I'm like, oh, they combined them. And then when I got back, phone rang and turned on the TV. A plane just hit the towers. And my life changed forever, as many's did. As many people's lives changed. But as we move forward, we're such a divided nation. What went wrong? You know, I watched a video a couple times today where the guy goes into the grocery store and he puts down like $40, God is good, and pays their bill. And, you know, I'm like, we need more of that. We need more people coming together. You know? There are people that believe, like, we're more divided now than we were before 9/11. And there are blacks, and even some black pastors that have come out and said, we're more a racially divided nation now than before the civil rights era. And these are black people that lived it. That lived in that. I'm not just saying this out of my heart. I'm saying that this is coming from the horse's mouth, a black pastor who lived that. I can watch all the history I want on that, read all I can, but I haven't lived it. I didn't live it. I'm not black. I don't know the racism that there is. There's always going to be racism. There's always going to be KKK. You can find stuff about white power worldwide all on the internet, all that stuff. That's going to be out there. That's never died. But now it's like mainstream, you know, news. But what scares me is okay, look at all these blacks that are killed by blacks. No one cares. But one cop kills a white cop kills a black cop, and no matter what the justification is, bye-bye. Who cares? You know? Well, you're all up in arms and protesting about this black being killed by this white cop where it's justified, but you got 200 blacks killed by blacks, and where's the protest? I don't get it. I just don't. I guess I grew up I don't know. I guess I never really looked at anybody as different. I put a bunch of swastikas on a Halloween costume one time and didn't realize what it was. My dad goes, oh, we're going to change that decal. And he sat down and he goes, I'm going to teach you some history, son. And it changed my life. Because I didn't realize that I had ancestors that basically played dead so they wouldn't be killed by Nazis. You know, in 9/11, you had people, you couldn't even get flags were impossible to find. I remember my boss went to a pawn shop and found like one where it had like 48 stars. Because he was very patriotic, man. He was one of those people, like, he was very patriotic, very loved this country, everything. And to see him, you know, he found that and he was like on cloud nine. And he goes, man, right now you can probably get 25 times what that was, what he paid for it. You couldn't get a flag. They were so hard to find. What happened? Now people want to spit on them, burn on them, disrespect them. Sorry, but I hate people that want to live in a country that they disrespect. I wanted to get into this because I'm a big proponent of, I don't support unions. At one time, I'm sure a union was great and you needed, as we move on, to have a union. But you should have, a company should want to keep their employees, should want to take care of their employees. But in Atlantic City, New Jersey, the Taj Mahal Casino was closing. It was founded by Donald Trump, I think, 26 years ago, and it's taking 3,000 jobs with them. Donald Trump doesn't only got 10% of the royalties from it because his name was still on it, but he didn't own it. A good friend of his, billionaire friend of his, owned it. But they were losing tens of millions of dollars month after month after month, and they couldn't keep flushing money down the tubes. I mean, you can only have a write-off for so long before, okay, you can't keep writing off and doing stuff. When you're losing money, you're losing money. And these unions just kept, they finally started to get some money coming back into the casino to make it work. And the unions, oh, they kept demanding and demanding. Now that they're making a profit, we got to do all this crap. Okay, he can't afford it. I want to see these union. I want to see these people. You need to go to the union and knock on the door and say, okay, he has to close his doors. How are you going to help us? Hey, I gave how much him. I gave $50 in dues every paycheck. Okay. Help me now. Show me a union that's gone under. When Hostess went under, because these people kept demanding more and more money and the company couldn't pay. Show me that. Show me where a union has gone under. I have never heard of a case. But then again, you know, like I say, at one time, I'm sure they were great. But when you can't afford to pay people more and more and more and more and more money, and you get demand, okay, close the door, sorry. You know, it's ridiculous. There's 3,000 jobs gone. But that's the union for you. And I guarantee, and I want to see, well, where's this union to help out these employees that are going to lose their job because they kept demanding more and more and more and more money. That, you know, I want to see where these unions are. And I would apologize if these unions came out and said, okay, here, we're going to give $10,000 to every employee to help them out until they can get another job. But I don't see that happening. You know, I've not heard of a union that's gone under thanks to a good old fashioned, you know, if a company goes under, a union doesn't go under. That's just me, you know. Got about 18 minutes left in the program, folks, and I want to thank you all for tuning in and, you know, and wherever you're listening from. Thank you. You know, I'm grateful I have a job. I wish I could make a little bit more, but right now, our company's tight. They're having to tighten their belts. We've had this wonderful Obamacare. We've had to get stuff for Obamacare. Oh, now you don't need that. Now you don't have to comply with this. You don't have to have this. Well, we paid for it. It's just, I mean, I don't remember a time in history when they just willy-nilly just changed laws. We don't need that now. Okay, we just spent $20,000 on something that now we don't have to have. I mean, we can have it, but we wouldn't have spent the $20,000 on it for something if we didn't need it. But hey, this is the new America. This is the America where the media doesn't do the job. This is the America where you have a political candidate that's majorly sick and she's not revealing. I would have much respect. She said, yeah, I have had a blood clot. I'm having some issues. I'm being upfront because the American people should know the truth. I would have utmost respect for Hillary. I guess I'm like many people. I care about her as a human being, like any human would. She's getting third world treatment. She should have went to the ER and probably had major stuff done, but they probably have some doctor that's like, patch her up. I'm in an apartment. I don't have any equipment. She needs this. Well, we can't. She's on a bed. Fix her. Welcome to the new America, where your vote don't matter and the media doesn't tell the truth. Where you don't learn history, but then you have too many people that are involved in Chim Pokemon. I found one. I found Shu and Lamtron and Roostor. You know, you have people that are, I don't know. Do people not? Because someone asked me, like, why do you think that is? That people were, like, kind of dumbfounded. Is it because people think, well, it doesn't matter, nothing's going to change? And like the one caller I had the one time, I kind of agree with, I kind of feel like he does. He's like, I feel like, well, okay, like, why vote? Because you're going to pick it's almost like, well, we're going to handpick the two candidates and you have the choice between bad or worse and, you know. And I think he feels like frustrated, like we all do, because that's the number one question I get asked from anybody is, how do we go forward? How do we change? Well, Martin Luther King was the biggest person. He did more change for this country, and he wasn't in politics. And I think eventually you're gonna get to the point where you have people completely wake up, you know? If Hillary Clinton was to not out of the election and Bernie Sanders was not to get the nominee, which I think he should have. I think he should have had the nomination. Then I think stuff will really hit the fan because Democrats will say, wait a minute here. She's not going to be the presidential nominee and the runner-up isn't even considered. What the heck? And I think it's going to take something from the Democratic side to really, you know, to do something to where it wakes the Democrats up, you know. I like Bernie Sanders for one reason, because I'm a socialist. He admitted it, you know, Hillary won't, but she is. But I just, it's America I never thought I would see. I never thought I would see it, you know, and it's sad. That's why I do what I do, because while I have the freedom. You know, it's just one of those things that some people ask me, well, I have several friends that listen, they love listening, and it's just, and that they learn something. And I hope you do. I hope you learn. I hope you wake up. I hope you know something about your history. I hope it gets you to, you know, I do a Feast of the Hunter's Moon every year. I used to be a reenactor. Now I just do the feast. I used to do a bunch of them all throughout the Midwest, in Illinois, and in all kinds of places, all around. You know, Illinois and Missouri and Indiana and different places, and anybody that's a local, I'll be playing at the feast with the Whole Nine Yards. It's a, if you ever heard of like square dancing, Scottish country dancing is what turned into square dancing here, and it's how you would meet someone back in the day, and I play a Irish bar on with the group, and you know, and I've always been fascinated because I want to know where we come from. And especially culinary school is great learning about the food history and different things. And it's just seeing where our country, because I've had people, oh, our country hasn't changed. I said, oh, it has changed more than you can even, it's unrecognizable anymore. You know, like when Bill Clinton, when he was interviewed today, they had a first interview where he said, randomly, my wife has these issues of and all this stuff, and they edited it. And then we edited it for time. One word, really? That's not for time. He basically admitted that. This is like frequent, whoops. I mean, it happens once in a while, you know, it's random. He had to catch himself. It's just, they have to cover it up, you know. Because God forbid they can't get their view across with the truth. Like I said, you know, I would respect. That's why I respect Bernie Sanders. He says what he is. I'm a socialist. This is what I want to do. I want to rein in the big banks. I want to do this. I am a socialist. I'm not hiding that fact. That's why I support him. I wouldn't vote for him, but I support him for the fact that he's honest. I would support Hillary if she was honest. Moving on, folks. Moving on. As we move into a little bit of fun stuff with the European football and English Premier League, and because I have a buddy at work that's from Africa, and he's big into the Premier League and stuff, so we always talk about, you know, he's a Gunner, and I'm a Reds fan, you know, he likes Arsenal, and I'm like, why haven't they gotten rid of Austin Vinga, you know? And he's just like, yeah, I understand that. I don't know why they have either. You know, they should have done it a while ago, because he really hasn't done much for the team, and, you know, and we played in Man City in the derby this past weekend. Man, it was bad. We just didn't do much. It was just like ridiculous. We had so many chances and didn't take advantage of any of them. But I, you know, a lot of stuff happens. You know, you sit there and you look at it like motorsports. You know, checkers or wreckers at the end. Okay, but caution comes out every time someone slows down, someone goes by, and when caution came out, so I slowed down. What the heck? Well, the wreck's behind you. The wreck is not going to affect you getting to the checkered flag. I've never seen anyone that on the last lap if there's a wreck that slows up. I've never seen someone win that argument. Why slow it up? Because of the caution. No. But the caution's not going to affect you because it's behind you. You race to the checkered flag. Everyone that races the checkered flag always wins. The one that speeds up, because inevitably someone slows down and another guy flies right by him. It happened to Paul Tracy and Mark Martin. They both lost. You know, same thing with the Derby. Who cares if you think it's going to be a penalty? It's going to be a penalty. But if you get it in the goal and it's a penalty, well, then you get an extra shot at it. If you think it's a penalty and you get it behind the goal and it's not a penalty, then you scored. If you think it's offside, okay. Well, if you block the ball and it doesn't go in, okay, you blocked the ball, but it was offside anyway, so it wouldn't have counted anyways. But if it's not offsides, like it wasn't called offsides, then you just lackadaisical because, oh, it's going to be offside. Don't worry, I'm not going to play the ball. And it goes in the goal. That's what happened. They got lackadaisical. Oh, it's going to be, they thought it would be an offside call, and it wasn't. I mean, it's going to be an interesting season. You know, Man City is in first with 12 points. Chelsea and Everton are tied with second and third for 10 points. And Man United is in fourth with 9. I think it's going to be a great, great season. And it's just, I mean, those kind of mistakes are something a championship team can't make. And I just love talking about, you know, because when I talk about the motorsports and the Premier League and stuff, it just takes away from the political. Because these are two things I really like. You know, because it's exciting. You know, those Premier League players, they're seen as somebody like an elder. I'm looked up to. I have a responsibility. These NFL players are like, okay, I've got $50 million. I can do whatever I want. I don't care. And I bet you some of those players are going to be 5 years broke once they leave the league and all that. So what a race in Richmond and NASCAR. Woo! Wow. Ryan Newman and Tony Stewart. Talk about, let's get ready to rumble. You know, Tony Stewart basically like, well, I gave him more chances than normal. Normally, I just give someone one chance. Supposedly, he claims that Ryan Newman bumped into him like 3 times. And the third time, he finally said, enough's enough. And he basically got into him. And, you know, and Ryan Newman just going off like, well, you know, he needs to realize this ain't dirt track racing. And, you know, he needs to cool his jets. And I would have thought, after what happened at the dirt track where he ended up killing that kid, and his aggressiveness would have gone down and his temper would have gone down and things would have happened, you know, but he's still like fiery as ever. You know, he's still like, okay, you bump into me. But he's like, oh, I respect Ryan Newman. But Tony Stewart was right at the same time. He goes, well, you got 26 other races to get to the chase. Don't blame me, don't blame not getting in on one night. You know, you have 26 other races to get in. It's just neat to, because something's got to happen, because the fire in NASCAR is kind of dwindling, and someone needs to put some coals in that fire and get it stoked and some wood and get it back going, because it's exciting, but it's not like it used to be. And I don't know if it's an economic thing that the stands aren't full or what's going on. But I know it's not that cheap to go to some of those races. I mean, that's why some of those races now they offer like 4 tickets for $99, and the tickets come with pit passes and everything. Or they come with like hot dogs and chips and drinks and stuff, you know, so you can eat and watch the race and. But like my mom said, screw the race. We'll just go out and get all the free stuff outside the track, and then once we get all the free vendor stuff, then we can just go home. But I'm like, Mom, you couldn't. My mom loves to go to the races, and so my mom would be like, she couldn't do that. If she went to the race, she'd have to okay out. She wouldn't go there without a ticket. But if she didn't have one, she'd be like, I need a ticket. He's got one. She'd be buying one real fast. But she gets into it, though, when she's there, just like anybody. You know, it's exciting. And it's just, I love seeing, like, Tony Stewart, Ryan Newman kind of go back and forth and just like, yeah. But I kind of look at it from the standpoint of, okay, Tony, yeah, maybe Ryan Newman bumped him. He didn't take him out. But, I mean, Tony Stewart took himself out of the race. So, you know. He did what he did, you know, but he took himself out. I don't know why. If I was going to do what I do, I'd try to make sure that maybe it affected Ryan Newman, but not me. I would try to make sure, well, how can I make it so that he gets out, not me, you know? But if I was in NASCAR, heck, every race, they'd be like, okay, where did Jimmy Johnson qualify so I can be right next to him so So when we get to the start finish line, I can just turn right into him. I wouldn't last too long. But as you all know, I love Jimmy Johnson. But I got about 2.5 minutes left in the program, folks. I want to thank you all for tuning in. But, you know, it's like, I guess it's sort of like NASCAR to me. It's sort of like the U.S. How do we go forward? How do we bring back? Because I remember they used to build and add on more seats. Now they add on stuff to try to get people to come to the race. Before they were adding because they didn't have enough seats. You know, how do we go forward with this country? How do we move forward? How do we get, as I come to this conversation of closing, what do we do? Keep up the fight. You know, don't be afraid to pray wherever. Don't be afraid to stand up for what you believe in. Don't be afraid to have a backbone. Our forefathers weren't afraid to have a backbone. With 90 seconds left, our forefathers relied on each other. Just like all the people that are helping out Natalie's Second Chance Shelter. You know, our forefathers relied on each other, not on the government. And we need to rely on each other, not on the government. You know, as the famous John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do. About 60 seconds left in the program. And just know that there's people out there like me. And there's others, and there is hope in this country, and this country will get back to where it is. And it's something that we hold dear. You know, there are people that still respect the national anthem and the pledge. Don't be afraid. You know, just like if you see someone that's in need and you can help them or talk to them or give them Jesus, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be there and help out and do stuff. With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Till Thursday night, goodbye and God bless.